You can be out in the kitchen, you can still take part in the class. It's like, it's perfect. Big, spacious. Maybe they didn't know it, they were just designing it for devotees. I've never seen a house so nicely designed for devotional programs. I mean, it's really
it's
great.
Close to the temple too.
Huh?
It's close to the temple too.
Well, sure. I should make many of them close to the temple. Well, we have a nice topic this evening, a kind of different. Different, not different, but different because it's very focused on the importance of training in Krishna consciousness. I have a lot of thoughts on this. Start with Prabhupada's desire to bring into the world what he called a class of first-class men. The lack of brahminical vision or qualified persons with brahminical quality to give guidance to the rest of society was something that he spoke about again and again. Without a head, the body is useless or dangerous. Strong body without a head is a problem. Or the use of technology without character is very dangerous. Once Prabhupada was describing an incident from Mahabharata where very similar to Maharaj Parikshit going to chastise the personality of Kali. And because the personality of Kali understood he was finished, so he surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit. And because he surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit, as the code of a kshatriya, he was to give protection to one who surrenders to him. Oh, please give me protection. I've taken shelter of you. Give me a place to reside. Okay, you can reside, you know the description, where the four pillars of sinful life are taking place. Well, that there's no such thing in your kingdom. That's why you came to get me. I was doing one of them and you... Okay, wherever there's hoarding of gold, because wherever there's hoarding of gold, then there'll be these four things. Ah. So similar to that, Maya Dhanava was causing great disturbance, just like the children in the front out there are causing disturbance. But it's such a nice house, you can close the door. And so he was causing disturbance, and the sages requested some relief from that disturbance, and so Arjuna went to the forest with Krishna to capture Maya Dhanava. And Arjuna had defeated him, and Arjuna was ready to finish him, but Maya Dhanava took shelter of Arjuna. Please give me protection. So, by the codes of Kshatriya honor, he offered him protection. And so, being so pleased, he said, I would like to reciprocate. I'd like to give you all my knowledge of how to do tricks with mystic power and manifest all sorts of technology. And Krishna said, no. If that enters, then everything will be spoiled. So then let me build you a big city. So he built a big city or a palace for the... Okay. How about just putting the volume up? That's easier, isn't it?
It might start echoing.
Okay. Hare Krishna. There we go. That's much better. Volume controls. So, similarly in our modern society, where there's technology without character, in the hands of a person without character, having some knowledge, it becomes a dangerous thing. It's like Ekalavya. When Drona took the thumb of Ekalavya, because Ekalavya had previously come to seek from Drona to become his student, and Drona said no. So he worshipped the Murti of Drona in the forest and developed skill. Drona came to take his thumb, because a person without character, having knowledge, is a dangerous person. And our society is like that. Its advancement in knowledge is becoming greater and greater and greater, and minus character is becoming more and more dangerous. So character is the first part of training. And how do you train character? When Prabhupada, another point to illustrate this, when Prabhupada began the Gurukul system, his instructions are very clear. Character. Establish character, because when the child is grown up, what's most important is they have character. And then whatever skill they have, they'll use it in a quality way. But without character, whatever skill they have, it's not going to be used in a quality way. And Prabhupada wanted a first class set of citizens. And making a first class set of citizens out of Kali Yuga, that's a challenge. It requires training. It's not simply a matter of behaviors. That becoming a devotee is you do the do's and avoid the don'ts and now you're a devotee. That's not what a devotee is, a person of character. Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, how will we tell who is one of your devotees? And Prabhupada's answer was, he's a person of ideal character. So how do you train character? I was describing one time in an assembly somewhere, something like this, a home assembly, about training a child in the quality of gratitude. I was making this contrast. You can teach a child the behavior. Every parent does it. Please and thank you. Once their child receives something, what do you say? Thank you. It reminds me of one of those little toys that you tilt it, it makes a sound. You tilt the child and they say, thank you. And they want something. I want. And then they say, what do you say? Please. So that's a behavior. The please and thank you behavior. But how do you teach a child gratitude? The feeling of gratitude. And I was describing, I have some ideas how you can teach gratitude, but when I was speaking like this, somebody in the audience, I thought they were having convulsion or something. They got really excited. And I said, What is it? Are you okay? They said, I'm a teacher, and you know, when in school we try to teach values, and I tell you, this is one thing we have not a clue how to teach. Gratitude. We can teach them the behavior, say please and thank you. But character, for there isn't the mom and dad around, or even when they're adult, they're not just saying please and thank you and taking I've got something, a selfish kind of disposition, but a grateful disposition. Because from such feelings, such character traits like gratitude, it grows all types of good behavior. It grows feelings of love and loving relationships. amongst individuals. It takes one beyond the position of duty into the realm of devotion. Another point is that it's a primary teaching of why it is in Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada, and before him Bhaktisiddhanta, and before him Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had the practice that persons that weren't born in Brahmin families were given Brahminical initiation. On what basis were they given Brahminical initiation? What's the answer, O learned Vaishnavas? On what basis? On what scriptural basis? Was it that persons not born in Brahmin families, through the practice of devotional service, were in course of time and training given Brahminical initiation? Oh, learned devotees. What's the basis for that? I'll help you. The basis for that is that one who becomes a Vaishnava, that's what we're trying to become, right? We're trying to become devotees. One who becomes a Vaishnava is understood to be already a Brahmana. Because in the Vedic system, where it's birth after birth and gradually one may become a Brahmana, from the position of Brahmana, what's the duty of a Brahmana? Or one of the main features of the Brahmana is Brahmana knows what is Brahman. And one who knows what is Brahman then in turn can know what is Parabrahman, or the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. And that's a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnava is understood to be already a Brahmana. So now we'll go to I'm just laying a foundation for our subject. The Bhagavatam, who is the Bhagavatam meant for? One of the audiences that the Bhagavatam is meant for is the Mahabhagavata personalities. The topmost personalities are interested in the Bhagavatam. Paramahamsas, like Shukadeva Goswami. We're not Shukadeva Goswami, but Shukadeva Goswami was interested in the Bhagavatam. And because of his interest in the Bhagavatam, he then came back from leaving home, heard further from his father, Vyasadeva, on the science of the Bhagavatam, and then further spoke the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, and thus we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the other audience, or the range of that other audience, goes all the way down to sinful persons who are victims of the age of Kali. Janata Agha Tadvag Visarga Janata Agha Viplava Yasmin Pratishlokim Abhadya Vatsvati. The Janata Agha. You all know what Janata is, those of you from India, the Janata Party. Janata, people in general, the People's Party. Janata, agha, sinful persons, because message of the Bhagavatam, Janata, agha, viplava, it completely annihilates through Krishna Katha, it annihilates all the reactions of one's past sins. Okay, that's very nice. It annihilates reactions to one's past sins, but what about the tendency to commit more? And, you know, not knowing how to navigate your way through, you know, a place that there's lots of impurity. How do you live your life with purity in a place of impurity? How do you do that? You know, those of you that are parents, I'm sure you concern yourselves to a great deal about how your children are going to navigate their way through this place of impurity. And, you know, be safe and protected and come out, you know, mature adults that are wonderful examples of good character in the world. That's what any parent will want, of course. It's built on character. And how do you put character in there? You can put behaviors. So, another example, scripturally. These are all examples why it's important. And that it's doable. Back to this other example first. Prabhupada took persons who were, you know, uncivilized, no sense of culture, and brought them to the position of becoming devotees. And he had to train them how to become devotees in details about, you know, cleanliness and behavior and regulation and habits and character. Initiated them into the chanting of the holy name, trained them further, and initiated them as twice initiated brahmanas, qualified to worship the deity on the altar and perform sacrifices. Not by birth, but by training. So now this other point is, in this age of Kali, how many times have we heard, those who listen to Prabhupada's lectures, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. In this age of Kali, everyone is born lower than Shudra. And how is that? Because to be a qualified Brahmana, that which helps establish the qualified Brahmana is the sangskaras performed by a qualified Brahmana. So where's the qualified Brahmana who can perform those sangskaras properly? And I had this discussion with one Brahmin-born college student who was asking the question, why did Prabhupada initiate people as brahmanas who weren't born as brahmanas? Why did he do that? And I turned it around and said, in this age of Kali, no one is born brahmana, although their parents may be, but starting with the Garbhadan Sangskara, which was not performed largely throughout society, how can someone be born Brahmana? I was surprised. He said, you know, you're right. Just like that, because Sangskara, you are versed in this, Sangskaras are essential. Essential. Some, even in Vedic times, a boy that's born in a Brahmin family, he must undergo the sangskaras. He must, without upanayana, but the prior ones and the subsequent ones. There's no question of brahminical life just because you're born in a family. You must perform the activity and have the quality of a brahmin. So now, on the topic of education, I mentioned when Prabhupada began the Gurukul system, the essence was developing character. Academics, that's nice, this academic, that academic, but most important is character. Our modern system of education goes primarily to information, not to formation of character. And as a result, there's lots of problems, even within the educational institution itself. I happen to... there's a devotee in New York who used to be part of the Board of Education. In fact, she was the director of all the guidance counseling operations in all the public schools of New York City. Could you imagine having a job like that? You know, whenever there's a problem, it goes to the guidance counselor, and the person that's in charge of all guidance counselors in the whole city of New York. What a nightmare. Well, Bloomberg, the current mayor, he just dissolved the Board of Education because they weren't able to do it. They weren't able, they weren't, education was not only in the information side, but certainly in the behavior side. It wasn't working. And so many problems in schools all over the country and all over the world, where kids, because of lack of character, they go into bad behaviors without detailing it. You know, guns even. And there was a study in New York about what you had to do 15 years ago to be expelled from class, and what you have to do today to be expelled from class. And today is, you know, carry a gun, or verbally threaten your teacher, or beat up on one of the other students, then you can be expelled from class. But, you know, 15 years ago it was don't raise your hand before you speak, expelled from classroom. Or they had a rule. It wasn't written, you know, have a spit wad. Maybe you don't know what that is. Piece of paper and you put it in your mouth and it makes it soft and you throw it and it sticks on something. You throw a spit wad, you're kicked out of class. Now it's gun detectors before you go into the school. What to speak of, ask your kids, you know, especially the high school level, what goes on. It's, they have a character training problem in public ed schools. And because of that atmosphere, it's challenging all the way around. So that's youth, but it's also challenging for the big kids like us, the adults, to maintain proper character in an atmosphere that's surcharged with opposition. The classic way of building character, the classic education system was for a young boy at the age of 5, they were placed in the care of a qualified brahmana. And for their whole life, they were trained by that qualified brahmana. There are education systems today where that is followed. Not exactly for the purpose of training character, but the teacher stays with the student the whole life. How many here can remember who their third grade teacher was? You can remember?
First grade teacher.
You had a good one in first grade. So this is a point. And what is it about your first grade teacher that makes that person outstanding?
I don't know why I remember her, but maybe good memory or whatever. She was nice.
She was nice. So my claim, my assertion here is, it's not just a deep impression is made not by how much information they gave, they're good at giving information, but they're good at resonating somehow, building a relationship of trust and care, so that that person still today is resonating in your thoughts and your as a person of meaning. It's described by Bhishma Dev in the 9th chapter of 1st canto Bhagavatam. What the training of a teacher would do: establish the foundation of how the principles upon which, values upon which one would lead one's life. Secondarily, was they would then examine what's the psychophysical nature of the child, and based upon the psychophysical nature of the child, they would train them for some occupation. So, like today's guidance counselors, that's what they you go to them, you know, what courses should I study if I go take this course or that course? What do you think of course? You plan out with your guidance counselor the courses that you, the optional courses that you can take. Some are not optional. That's in the career building or, you know, information so that I can be effective according to my psychophysical nature in a career. But the character is just missing. It's just missing. Because they don't know how to do it. When they came to understand, with all this, with not only in America, all the violence of shootings and of kids in school, but it started, other kinds, similar things started happening in India. Whatever you call it, the central government got real serious about, we need character education in our country. And they put out a notice that anybody that can come up with a curriculum that can do this, we'll fund it. Because we don't know how to do it. It's information, 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 no transformation. That's our program. And no transformation with lots of information is a problem. Put something very powerful in the hand of a person without character and you got a problem. And that's what's going on in the world. And in that atmosphere, training character. So the classic sense is, it's a very close relationship. Just like Drona and his dear friend when he was growing up,
Drupad.
One was a Kshatriya father, one was a Brahmana father, but they were both placed in a school. And after some time, went to another school. They both went to the. They grew up together. With real serious training and character, only Drupad kind of flunked afterwards because he went back on his word. And that caused a big problem for him. He lost his kingdom because of that. Anyway, so that's the classic system. Now what about today, where the first find a qualified Brahmin, but where our acharya, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur as well, and certainly Srila Prabhupada's example was, he was traveling all over the world, Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta was traveling all over India. So not staying in one place and simply training one person, but he trained key people, who then he expected to train others. That was my experience when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. By the time I joined the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada was traveling around the world, and we were told, what to speak of getting, you know, personal training from Prabhupada, we were told, don't even write to him. He has too much to do, he wants to concentrate on his, and it was true. Prabhupada wanted to concentrate on his translation work, and the more he had to spend time dealing with problems and training the devotees, he didn't have time to translate the Bhagavatam. And he wanted to complete all 60 volumes. He had said that long ago. He had said that when he published the first two volumes. There's a poster. 60 volumes. He had it all planned out. And so, what Prabhupada had said was, I've trained some of my leading men, and you have some question, go to them. And so they were entrusted, that was their GBC duty of training others. So training isn't just solving problems. And I'll speak from a manager's perspective. Solving problems is the result of people that aren't trained. We invite people to come and join the Hare Krishna movement. And we're supposed to do that. And then people join the Hare Krishna movement. And anybody that's worked with new devotees, there's two main things. You engage them in hearing and some sadhana. And then after some time, they need some service. Okay, so you have some people that aren't trained and they're doing some service, and what happens? There's a conflict. A manager's job, unfortunately, largely is picking up the pieces after some conflict of some persons who weren't trained, go at it with each other and make a problem. Then the manager has to come in, okay, what's the problem? And get out their broom and dustpan and clean up the mess and fix the problem and move on. I would much rather go right to the root of the thing and say, let's train the devotees. When we invite them into the Hare Krishna movement, we give them proper training. Mm-hmm. And when there's proper training means character, then you can put, you know, two children in the room and they don't fight with each other, two adults in the same service, and they're doing fine because it's based on character. But it didn't just happen because, for those of you that just came in, there's this paucity of character in the world because it's not available. It's not available in the education system. It's certainly not in the commercial world. You know, there's no product. You can't go to Walmart and Kmart and buy some character. Where do you get it? It takes teachers to train. It takes examples to show. Because that's another one of the problems that in building characters, you try to train, here's the standard, and then the person looks around and say, well, what about that, what about that, what about that? And they're doing something else, and they're doing something else, so why can't I do that something else? Like kids. No offense, kids, but, you know, how come I can't have one of those Game Boys? Or how come they watch TV? Or how come, you know, so whatever one of the rules of education, children's education is, just like water has a tendency to seek the lowest level, so also with education. There's the tendency. It's not like that's, but if there's character, then the children will make their own decision. I'll share something with those of you that are parents that you might be pleased to hear. I'm a little boastful here, a little proud of the children that have grown up with careful training. There's a group of teenage girls in Chicago. I didn't request this of them, someone else requested. Please read the Bhagavatam section where Devahuti is being married to Kardava Muni by the arrangement of Swayambhuva Manu. And then write an essay on answering three questions. The three questions were, what's the difference between arranged marriages and the other kind? And which is there more value in arranged marriage as opposed to the other kind? And which would you prefer for yourself? And, wow, those essays weren't just like, well, my mother said or my father said, and therefore I better do what my mother or father said because I want to be obedient. They had some realizations that they were sharing about what the arranged marriage looks like. And what these are teenage girls. So, you know, and they were so happy with the product, they put it together in a little booklet. And they gave me a copy, and they gave the person who had asked them that service a copy. And their realizations were deep. It wasn't like they understood why they were behaving the way that they were behaving. Which meant, you know, the boy-girl thing that every parent with teenage kids has some concern about breathed a sigh of relief. And it doesn't mean the atmosphere is not out there, and because they share what the atmosphere is out there, and it spins the mind, especially with those little teenage hormones moving around. It spins them. But they have a clear sense of why they want to be what they want to be. And that means, you know, now it's not this, and then when it's that time, this is what it's going to be because I know it's my choice. I've thought it through. I'm looking at the two options, and it's very clear to me. And they're clear also why they've been able to come to those conclusions, and they've been able to come to those conclusions because they have teachers and examples that show the right thing, the right model, not just something you read in a book about Devahuti and Kardamuni, and that's okay because that was Satyayuga, and here we are, it's Kali Yuga. It doesn't apply anymore because look around. Some people have that, even adults have that, you know, it's not relevant anymore kind of a disposition. My observation is that the further we choose to go from the Vedic model, the more we have problems to manage rather than character to put inside ourselves. Mm. Or say it the other way. The more that we put the Vedic model in the center of our life and in our hearts, the more we have character and the less we have problems to manage. And so much energy goes into managing problems instead of building character. I'd rather have character. But that takes training. It doesn't just fall from the sky because we're chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, offering our food to Krishna. Although those things are important, there's a deeper something, and that deeper something comes from training. And training involves relationship, like this, the classic example of the teacher living with the child and observing their character. There's some reason why it's a teacher, not just the parent. Like, say, even some parents may be doing homeschooling. Some parents in ISKCON, some parents right here are doing homeschooling. It's also very valuable, in addition to the homeschooling, is that there's another person or persons who are showing by example and have very deep relationships with their children that are helping to place character. Because it's on the basis of a deep commitment to a person, there's change of heart. And when there's change of heart, then you have real education, not just information education. One other point is that even in the spiritual world, there's training. Mm. Prabhupada has described that when the soul becomes so qualified to enter into the spiritual world after this lifetime, there's a one lifetime when birth is taken in Krishna's Bhoma Lila. Mm-hmm. Krishna has worldly pastimes in this created realm, and they're continuously being enacted. He uses the word like a spool. Like thread has a spool, you just keep pulling thread from it, and thread keeps coming and coming. And so, like a spool, Krishna's pastimes are continuously being performed somewhere. Somewhere, Krishna is appearing. Somewhere, Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill. Somewhere, Krishna is going into the forest to herd the cows. Somewhere, he's doing all the things that are in his lila. And then, just like somewhere, there's the sun rising, and then the sun rising. And then the sun rising, and the sun rising, and the sun rising. Like that. The sun is always there, it's just the earth is turning. And so similarly, Krishna's pastimes are always being performed, and one takes birth in that Bhoma Lila, and here's Prabhupada's very clear description. In that Bhoma Lila, there are Nitya Siddha devotees that receive the Sadhana Siddha devotees and train them. Here's how you serve Krishna. They give them their service and they give them the training how to serve Krishna. And then Prabhupada went on to describe, and after that experience, one goes to the spiritual world in Krishna Loka, and there's always an ongoing, ever-expanding process of learning the intimacies of serving Krishna. Because it's not static. It's dynamic. So, if that's true, then what to speak of here? It requires training. Now I'll just share something that I have a few pet peeves, and one of them is we invite people to join Krishna consciousness, and we don't train them how to do that. And what the classic previously was, people would join our temple, young boys, young women would join the temple, and they would give their life to service in the temple. And then at a certain stage, they would need to get married, We made no arrangement to help them move on to that next stage of life. It was, thanks a lot for your service. Here's your husband, here's your wife. Good luck. I felt that was, you know, I didn't have to go through that because I remained brahmachari, then sannyas, right? Boop. But for those that went through that, it was very difficult. Very difficult. So like this notion of care for Krishna's devotees that is getting more attention now, that's very nice. But it's been absent. So we invite somebody to come and take part in Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, how to... So some persons come married. Okay, now how to transition from our life before that didn't have that component of devotional service to do it in devotional service. And there's so many things. It's not only the husband-wife relationship, but, you know, or etiquette and the philosophy and chanting and finance and, you know, you have some financial problem because somebody lost their job. Or, you know, or somebody in the family becomes has a health problem. And, you know, the community is needed to assist or somehow provide that infrastructure that gives the spiritual care to those individuals. Because without it, well, it's very difficult. There may be some very rare individuals who can perform like that, but it makes for growing into a very healthy state of Krishna consciousness. But the whole notion of delivering our dependents from birth and death, well, that's a nice idea. And how do you do it? And certainly it starts with having that capacity of being free from the material conceptions of life, being fully absorbed in the spiritual conceptions of life. But it's not just jnana, it requires vijnana, it requires practical application. And how do you practically apply? It takes example, it takes teaching, it takes time, it takes care, it takes nurture, it takes training. That training covers all those other things. When there, some persons have a resistance to the whole notion of training, or even a more, looks like a bitter pill, is surrender. Because surrender sounds like I have to give up my freedom, and we value our freedom. Especially Americans. Land of the free. The home of the brave. We value our freedom. We fight for our freedom. Look at us fighting all over the place for our freedom. We value freedom. And surrender sounds like you give up your freedom. The paradox of that is that, in fact, by surrender, it's a very, very beautiful description in the first canto of the Bhagavatam of Narada Muni's unfettered freedom because of his full surrender to the personality of God. And he has such freedom. He can travel anywhere in this universe and beyond the universe. He doesn't need a 747. He doesn't need a passport and a visa. He just sings the Lord's names and plays upon his veena and zoom, zoom, off he goes. And he can go anywhere before anybody at any time. He has absolute freedom. And why is it? Prabhupada explains why that is. His full surrender to the personality of Godhead. So what is it that we're surrendering when we surrender? We surrender our illusion. We surrender the false sense of independence. Because in fact, constitutionally, we're dependent. And unto whom are we dependent? We're dependent upon the Supreme Independent. That's a nice place to surrender unto. And those that are in this position of training, like Brahma was training Narada, and Narada was training Vyasa, and so forth. Even Krishna took the position of becoming trained by Sandipani Muni to show by example. There's those persons who are in that role. It's not by force. Okay, Krishna says surrender. So I'll twist your arm until it hurts, and then you'll say, okay, surrender. It's not that kind of. It's by love and by spiritual influence. By purity is the force. Prabhupada didn't twist our arms to get us to surrender our lives. It was the purity of Prabhupada that brought us to surrender our lives, and so many persons all over the world. I've even had association with Prabhupada's disciples who never were in Prabhupada's physical presence. And their whole life is dedicated to him. There's no twisting of arms or force. So training is not force. It's spiritual influence and loving exchange. Teaching us through that principal medium of those who are very, very, we trust in a confidential way that they will guide us, help us, assist us. It's perhaps the most close position of a loving exchange that we can have to train us in our loving relationship with Krishna. And if we can't, it's Krishna's system. We can't enter into a trusting and loving relationship in that way. How's it going to happen directly with Krishna? That's not Krishna's system. Those who claim to be my devotees, they're not my devotees. In Adi Purana, Krishna says to Arjuna, but those who are devotees of my devotees, or the whole teaching of Mahaprabhu, the servant of the servant of the servant, Gopi Bhartur Padakamali or Dasa, Dasa Anudasa, and that's who we are. I'll share a little experience with you. We had a japa retreat in Gitanagari, and it was very exciting to chant 64 rounds in the association of about 120 people who were chanting 64 rounds with great intensity and, you know, a fair amount of preparation in advance. So one of the things that we, there were many things, but one of the things that we were discussing and sharing with the audience was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to enter into, this is training, so enter into the holy name. He gave three different stages of how to enter more deeply into the holy name, which was our purpose for going there. So the first one was, step one, he called it, was meditating on and entering into the mood of the meaning of the mantra. So what's the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra? Krishna, please engage me in your service. Or Hara in the vocative becomes Hare, O energy of Krishna. O Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed it. One can simply call, Krishna, please accept me. Makes it real simple. Krishna, please accept me. So, we were in Gitanagari, so I stood before the deity, Radha Damodar, and was praying. Krishna, please accept me. But Krishna will accept one if Radha. So I stood before Radha. Please accept me. And the most intimate servant of Radha is Lalita. So I stood before Lalita. If you accept me, Radha will accept me and Krishna will accept me. Please accept me. And then I was thinking, well, Rupa Goswami in his spiritual, this was happening while I was, it wasn't just an intellectual thing, I was calling out, please accept me. So, Lalita is served by Sri Rupa Manjari, and that's Rupa Goswami, who are followers of Rupa Goswami. So, Rupa Goswami, please accept me. Please make me your follower. Of course, you know, as a devotee, that's our life. But it's a mood. It's entering into a mood of not just take it for granted, but please accept me. And then I was thinking, Narottam Das Thakur, he was praying like that, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. So I went to the songbook while I was chanting and just was meditating on the mood of Narottam Das Thakur. Although Rupa Goswami was not Narottam Das Thakur's spiritual master, he accepted Rupa Goswami in that mood. Your lotus feet are everything to me. Please accept me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Servant of the servant. So it wasn't meditated, it was a feeling. It just carried me to that position. It's very wonderful. I wish I could stay in that mood all the time. It's a very intense mood. And the association of the devotees who were enthusiastically chanting, embarking on chanting their 64 rounds was a big support. And if those same lotus feet of Rupa Goswami is the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant is our mood. If that can awaken in our heart, somehow we can, as a group of Vaishnavas or even one Vaishnava to one other Vaishnava, awaken that mood through our association. How fortunate. And when that's awakened, behaviors become easy. You know, Vaishnava etiquette becomes very easy. And if that's missing, it becomes a management issue. You know, you go over in that corner and you go over in that corner and, you know, behave yourselves. But better is to develop character. And that comes for this deep submission, back to the point of surrender. Well, what surrender means is leaving far away from us all the impurities that are stuck upon us or within our hearts that are inappropriate. That's Vaishnava, that humility of a Vaishnava, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, that ahajani nanuraga, durdaivam, idrisha mahajani nanuraga, while knowing all the glories of what devotional service and chanting of the holy name, the teachings of pure devotion, my heart is so hard. And why is that? That humility of a Vaishnav is not awakened. Instead, there's something else that's awakened. So, it's like this full circle around to training of gratitude. Training of gratitude, for example, it's a movement of heart. It's not just like something I like to distribute prasadam because Prabhupada, when I, through association with Prabhupada, when he was visiting in New York, he would keep a jar of something, even if it was sometimes just macadamia nuts or some fruit or cut fruit or something. And it was just part of being with Prabhupada. He would give you some mahaprasad, come into his room, and it was just, you know, whatever it was. It was part of his culture or his character. So from that I've appreciated distributing mahaprasad. And from doing that I've learned Particularly in children, it's noticeable because the parents will say, you know, to their children, what do you say? Thank you. And so the expression of thank you often is just looking at what's in their hand and saying, thank you. There's no relationship. There's no gratitude. And sometimes there's real gratitude. And there's a difference, qualitative difference in the exchange. It's not the value of something that's in their hand, it's the gift. And, you know, all cultures of the world teach, honor thy mother and father. Why? Because there's so much to be grateful for. But how do you teach that? See, especially, it may be difficult for the mother and father. How do you teach gratitude besides behavior? So if the understanding of what is that valuable thing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this, that when some teaching is given, it's the duty of the recipient of that teaching not only to respect the deliverer of that valuable thing, but to deeply contemplate what is that valuable thing that I've received. Try to understand it from different angles of vision so you can really see this is a jewel I've just received. And then naturally, having gone through that exercise, there's a feeling of gratitude, or more naturally, there's a feeling of gratitude. And then when that feeling of gratitude comes, the behavior will follow of using it wisely and the feeling of indebtedness to the person who has given that valuable thing. And then you want to give back out of natural reciprocation. What you give back is your life or the expression of that valuable thing properly applied. Jnanam vijnanam astakyam parvasvabhavajam. Where you practically apply in your life. If there's anything that a student can demonstrate to their teacher, disciple to their spiritual master, or whatever those kinds, the parent, the child to the parent, one who's receiving something, is, like Prabhupada said this about Gandhi, the way to honor a great person, he said this at the Gandhi memorial ceremony just after he had died. He was invited as one of the key speakers. The way to honor a great person is not just to build a monument, or name a building after that person, although that's conventional. Name a street after the person. That's conventionally done. He said the best thing is to establish a community of persons or group of persons whose very lives express the ideals that were taught by that great person. That's how to honor a great person. And then he described further Gandhi read the Bhagavad Gita. Those were his values. And so one should create a place called Gitanagari. That was, you know, in the 50s that he wrote, whatever the timing was that he wrote that. And then later they found it and called it the Gitanagari prophecy. But Prabhupada had a very clear vision of taking the teachings of a great person. And that's our responsibility. If we have gratitude, we really appreciate what it is that Prabhupada has given us. He's given us the holy name. He's given us devotional service. He's given us deities. He's given us pure teachings. He's given us the association of others, of like-minded souls, etc. He's given so many things. And we're like little children, not really understanding with full gratitude what it is that we've been giving. If we have a clearer appreciation of what it is that we've been giving, then we'll want to manifest, according to what Prabhupada taught, an assembly or a sangha of others who are living by those very ideals. That's what this, you know, growing a spiritual community and becoming educated ourselves, what are those values that he gave us, and carrying them in our heart, understanding deeply and living by them. And receiving guidance, how to do that. It's just part of culture. It's the head on the body. So, last thing. Two last things. Respect. That's another quality or character. I've adopted this little saying that says that the fabric of all relationships is respect. Or say it the other way around. When respect breaks down, the relationship breaks down. You don't have a relationship, you have a problem. So the fabric of relationship is respect. And one of the things in training of children, one of the things of training devotees, is respect. And to what does respect go? Respect goes to the soul. When I was a teenager, I had an internal conflict, a spiritual conflict. The conflict was, as a Christian boy growing up, looking back on it, I didn't really understand what I was going through when I was going through it, because I was not properly guided. But there's teachings in the Bible that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I was thinking, how do you do that? Because I see lots of people doing things that's not at all lovable, and I don't love them. So I'm not following that primary command. You know, the scene from the Bible is Christ was asked by his own disciples, you've taught us so many things, what's the most important thing out of all the things? And it was two things. Love God with all their heart, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I had not a clue how to love my neighbor as myself. Not a clue. So I started asking. And every place I went to ask, I would get laughed at. Well, that's a nice question. A pat on the head. No answer. So I gave up. I'm tossed in the towel. I can't, I don't have an answer. When I became a devotee, I got an answer. Mm-hmm. But in contact with Prabhupada's teachings, I got the answer. And it starts with the first one. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And I had not a clue how to do that either. But when the love for the neighbor is to the soul. But without having a clear understanding of soul, you just see the body and the behaviors and the language. And it's not lovable. I had a big issue with people being mean to each other all the time. Why people do that? I had a youthful dilemma. It was a problem. So training, how to get to the platform of the soul, it comes through training, Prabhupada said. Who is born with the understanding of the soul? There's nobody that's born with the understanding of the soul. So where did it come from? Somebody gave it. So that's a teacher. And it's teachings given by a teacher. So we're dependent upon teachers to get proper teachings. We're dependent. It's just our position. So we should be grateful. Prabhupada would express that in terms of, the obligations we have as soon as we're born. The duties. The indebtedness. And the indebtedness is all fulfilled if we become devotees. But becoming devotees isn't just a matter of dress and behaviors. It's something inside. It's reaching for that genuine spiritual place for ourselves and staying in that spiritual place when we're interacting with others, being duly respectful for all living entities. Pandita Samadarshana. And it was the basis of Pandita Samadarshana, seeing that spark of life within all living beings, because the bodies are obviously different. Just like the class this morning at the temple. Vasudev is giving his firstborn child to Kamsa and saying to Kamsa, you can do with this child what you want. And even Kamsa, like mean, nasty Kamsa, was impressed by the samatvat, the quality of equanimity and satyam. He was truthful. He gave his word and he kept his word. And he wasn't like fearful and trembling and all stressed out. He was just fulfilling with equanimity. Here's the firstborn child. As you wish, you can do with the child. He understood somehow it's the plan of the Lord. Now who could do such a thing? But someone, the behavior is one thing. The equanimity of mind is another thing. We can do many things out of duty and not like it. I do lots of things out of duty that I don't like. I would like to come to the higher platform where I may not understand the plan of Krishna, but there's the plan of Krishna. There's some service that Krishna wants. I teach it all the time, and to stay in that consciousness all the time is challenging. But that's what is required for brahminical quality, samat. Such as what the first one listed in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Samat dhamak tapak shocham shantir arjam evacha jnanam vijnanam astakyam brahma karma sarva. And we're supposed to be like that because we're Vaishnavas. It's a very deep thing to be a devotee. So those are some thoughts on the importance of training and the relationships with those that have that quality and that are extending that service onto others. It's a very, very important relationship. It's something we should be eager to seek out and take shelter of, to become qualified Vaishnavas. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Like you mentioned, that we all need teachers to help us guide through the different transitions.
Mm-hmm.
So as a neophyte, when you're getting introduced to Krishna consciousness, you have your regular worldly responsibilities, your financial state and all that, things to manage, and you have a different lifestyle altogether. Right?
Yes.
You can relate
to
it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And then you're trying to transition. And so many things happen that could upset you.
Yeah.
You know, like the health problems could have started appearing, you know, hyperthyroidism, all those things.
Long list.
Start happening. So this list comes and you can like look at it. Well, I'm doing the right thing and I'm getting a negative effect. So how should a devotee or a neophyte devotee in this case behave towards it?
It's not that I'm doing the right thing and I'm getting a negative result. It's I'm responding to your question. It's we're in a very difficult atmosphere. I like Prabhupada's language. An atmosphere surcharged with opposition. That's the atmosphere. And we're trying to bring into our life the purity or the means to come to purity. So we have to expect, you know, the current is moving the other direction. There's opposition, surcharge with opposition. So it shouldn't be a surprise when something that's the current is running the other way and hits us. We shouldn't be a surprise. And it's not necessarily that we're doing something wrong. It can very well be the atmosphere. It can also very well be our own past attachments or wrong deeds or application of misconceptions to our life that we have to bear some responsibility for. So now that's how we can look at the thing, but if we have proper guidance, that proper guidance can help us through that. It's not just support and they're by your side and saying, keep going, man, it's, you know, it's okay, it gets tough sometimes. But it's not just that. You know, a member of the team and they're cheering you on, keep going. But practical guidance, how to deal with real life situations. That's where vigyan, Prabhupada would use this term to mean realization or applied knowledge. He would make the example of, because he was a chemist, so there's textbook and then there's laboratory. So this is laboratory, where it's not just hydrogen and oxygen makes water, but you here's some hydrogen, here's some oxygen, see if you can make some water. You go into the laboratory and there's water. Okay, that's works. So in the laboratory of life, how to practically apply the teachings of devotion? Guidance is so critical. There's the support, but also, you know, place your step over here, and then move over there. You know, the fork in the road, watch out for the fork, and then over there, there's a ditch, and there's a guidance. So you don't fall in the ditch or miss the fork in the road.
But to get the guidance means you have to let the other person know.
Yes, it's a relationship. It's a relationship where there's regular interaction, accessible relationship where there's regular interaction. But then there's these other features where there's things like respect and things like trust. And it's not just blind, but where it's on the basis of interacting, it's earned. Trust. Trustworthiness is on the other side. Even if the other person isn't supplying answers, just that their character speaks words of encouragement. Let me keep going. Or maybe some practical, you know, suggestions. But then there are suggestions and we have to make our decisions and take responsibility for our decisions, how to work our way through different situations. It's learning to trust those, it's helping to establish loving relationships in the place of we're on our own. There are fierce independence. Our fierce independence has gotten us into some problems. Like the material world. Not just the immediate circumstance. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. It's a real nice class. I just wanted to share, when they used to start teaching us as kids, I remember they used to specifically have us recite one verse, and that recite the verse and give you the translation. It exactly falls in line with what you taught. It's Vidya Dadati Vinayam, Vinaya Tyati Patratvam, Patratvam Dhanam Aknoti, Dhana Dharmam Tathasukham. Knowledge gives humility, humility will give eligibility, eligibility will give you a job by which you can make money, money will give you religion, means money, use it to practice religion, and by that method you become happy. So this is like, you know, this is how we start.
Knowledge gives you humility, humility gives you, okay.
Eligibility.
Humility gives you a career, gives you money, gives you something you can use for God that makes you happy. That's not quite what I said. Got a different mantra. Trinadapi Suni Chena. That's our mantra. Anyone else? Yes.
I was reading the devotional service destroyed all the seeds of sins and all the reactions. Then why are we suffering at present time if our devotion is so strong?
Why are we suffering in the present time because of?
If our devotion is very strong and we've done.
Well, that's two things. It may lead one to ask oneself, how strong is my devotion? Second thing is, if our devotion is very strong, then we can take it from Rupa Goswami, because we're at Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, taking his teachings, that things going wrong or problems are either reactions to our past, they're token reminders of our past misdeeds coming directly from Krishna. In other words, one should have had a broken arm, instead one gets a cut on his hand. Is it some very token in proportion to what our misdeeds have been? One should take it that way. Or Krishna is providing an opportunity for me to serve him in a way that's inviting my full surrender. There's something that Krishna wants me to learn. There's some service that Krishna is providing for me. So let me take it in that spirit. Not like things, you know, because otherwise, I'm the controller, only it's not going the way that I had it planned. Krishna, what's wrong with you? So, or another way of saying the same thing is when we surrender to Krishna, we should understand we're surrendering on His terms, not our terms, because otherwise it's not surrender. So if something is coming our way that looks like a problem, it's a service that Krishna is providing for us. Like I know some parents that have children that have some defect, autistic child from birth. So that's a problem. It's a long-term problem. But they're not taking it as a problem. They're taking it as Krishna's given us this opportunity to serve this soul. Probably for a lot of years, because their capacity to do things is not going to, one day they become independent and they're off on their own. It's a long-term arrangement. And they're doing it very happily. Not, you know, why is this happening to us? Something else? Yes?
I had a question about the topic of submission.
Okay.
So it seems like when the person who's training is like vastly superior and very pure, it is easy for the person who's been trained to submit to that person. On the other hand, when a devotee is not, doesn't have that superior quality of purity, but it's doing that service.
As a service.
Yeah, as a service. So, it seems, so obviously that spiritual influence cannot be, that devotee doesn't have that degree of spiritual influence. And also because that devotee is still influenced by the modes of nature and things like that. So the training seems to get focused on those things and that affects their submission. So
That situation existed during Prabhupada's time. It was very clear. Those persons who Prabhupada had, you know, for a vast period of time of maybe 3 or 4 years had trained them, were not of the caliber of Srila Prabhupada. So, let's just bypass those people and get trained by Prabhupada. But that wasn't Prabhupada's direction. He wanted us to be trained by those who he had trained. And, you know, they had some of their own problems. So, such big problems, there are a number of them aren't around anymore. A very interesting thing, relevant to your point, is one time one of those persons behaved that I was being trained by. I mean, literally, I was being trained by. Did some very, very, very bad things. They had to be removed from the temple physically. And then Prabhupada sent a note. He did two things. He sent a note to those who were subjected to that misleading, abusive person, and said that, you know, I want you to understand there's no fault. And put it right by the door of the temple room so everybody could see it, with Prabhupada's signature at the bottom. You have done as I have asked you to do, so for you there's no fault. You know, it was surrendering to Prabhupada was what we were doing. And so on that strength of our ordering, of following his order, we were safe, protected, and he was very pleased. And our spiritual progress continued. And so it's like a spiritual family. The injunction is, in a different context, the injunction is that parents should not become parents, or husband and wife should not become mother and father, unless they can deliver their pendants from birth and death. And how many parents assembled here or practically anywhere could, you know, raise their hand and say, yes, I have the qualification to deliver my dependents from birth and death? Not many hands would go up in the world. So, but that's a responsibility that they're accepting, and they have to, if not there, grow to that position and take that responsibility very seriously and accept the full weight of that. So in the case of being trained, just like a bhakti leader in a temple, we don't have so many bhaktas in temples, but when we did, there was a bhakti leader. He was training. And, you know, that they're not the same as, you know, the president. The president is not the same as the GBC, is not the same as whoever and whoever and whoever. But that's the person who was training them. So it's a great responsibility. And one should do that to the best of one's capacity. And the limitation of lack of purity, therefore the lack of spiritual influence, to bring person from a position where they are to a higher position, it's limited. But that's the arrangement that we have. And it will help both parties grow. It's like Prabhupada being told by Bhaktisiddhanta, you go to the West and preach, and it will simultaneously be good for you and good for them. It's that kind of a dynamic where it's simultaneously good for both parties. And especially if one is going to take the position of a teacher or a parent or a leader or a head of state or a spiritual master, it's a very, very great responsibility, and we should take it in that way and be a transparent representative as far as one's capacity to do so. Taking that seriously, according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, qualifies the person. Even if they're in the process of becoming pure, it qualifies the person to be the proper representative. That's our path. Rupa Goswami's teaching shows our path. And taking even sadhana bhakti, where we take the goal of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, as Rupa Goswami has given it, then that's, by Rupa Goswami's definition, that's uttam bhakti. Even we're just doing our sadhana. Vidhi sadhana bhakti. It grows into bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, if we follow properly. So it's how the society can grow. Do it the other way. Supposing the persons who were trained were in the association of Prabhupada, they would probably make so many mistakes, they'd make offenses, and they're finished. So it's an arrangement that Krishna is making for each of us. And it's not that we will be bereft if we take that which Krishna, arrangement that Krishna is making for us, and grow with it. As we're qualified, Krishna will make arrangements for further association and further purity for all parties. Yes?
Is it okay to
ask? Yeah, go ahead. I don't see any other hands up back up there. Go ahead.
We understand from the philosophy and from the teachings that everyone progresses slowly and with constant perseverance and patience, you know, practicing daily.
Yeah.
So good. Everyone gets to be on different platforms.
Yeah.
And it seems like the higher the platform you go, you are in a more protective bubble around you. You are in so much service that you don't feel Maya Devi.
You're at greater risk.
Oh, you're at greater risk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My understanding was, so much busy in the service that Maya Devi, you don't even notice her, and all the material things, they just leave you away.
It's not just because you're busy in service. If that were the case,
yes,
then every passionate person would be very protected. It's not just busy in service. It's feeling oneself very insignificant and humble. That's the protection, whatever the position. And if one is lacking in that humility, one is lacking in protection. It's not how much volume of service versus the smaller volume of service.
It's the mood.
It's the mood, exactly. So we each of us has a capacity. We serve according to our capacity in a humble mood. We take away that humility, we're vulnerable at any stage. Jiva Goswami uses this example in Bhakti Sandarbha. Nice example. He says humility is like an eyelid that protects the eye. The eyelid protects the eye. So something is coming involuntarily, the eyelid closes to protect the eye. So now somebody is in devotional service. And here comes some praise. Humility. Here comes, you made a mistake and you're getting some dishonor. Humility. And then in between, it's humility. It provides the atmosphere to protect the eye that is meant to see. So to see our way in spiritual life, humility is absolutely essential. It's not so. The teaching says stay always engaged in devotional service. But I could, you know, anyone can think, I'm always engaged in devotional service. Look out, here I come. Get out of my way, because I'm protected by Krishna. Of course, that's an exaggeration, but maybe not exactly. I know some people that have that spirit about them. You get around them, and it's like, here I come. They're vulnerable to Maya, although doing lots of service.
In chapter 12, it talks about samashatva chamitre chatata manapamani. So you have to be same, you know, you have to have
yeah,
the same
samatvam, energy. Yes, equanimity. In the humble mood of service. Yes.
And how to, sorry, can I do a follow-up?
Go ahead. But speak a little louder so the people in the back.
So how to behave, like as you are going through days with keeping the mood and growing and getting more and more into the mood of surrender and service and humility is growing as it's going on. Suddenly some things that's happening which you may not be aware of. So you always need constant guidance.
Yeah.
Because without guidance you're lost. Sometimes you think that what I'm doing is excellent and then after 2 months you come to know what you did was completely wrong. And you're completely shocked. I was in a different mood. And how come this be the result?
So what you're saying just now is confirmation of we need here's another reason why. It's the position of wanting to please Krishna. What's going to please Krishna? When we're submitting ourselves to those who are dear to Krishna. And who does it matter? You know, who's keeping score? You know, wait a minute. You know, I'm bigger than him, so I shouldn't submit to him because he should submit to me because I'm bigger than him. That's not the mood of a Vaishnava. The mood of a Vaishnava is humility. Before all.
But at the same time, there is fear. Fear of the unknown world.
But the position of, if the submission is pure, that's the position of fearlessness. Because the protection is coming from Krishna, who is the controller of this world. And even something apparently dangerous, or, you know, threatening comes your way, you're feeling protected. That's the position of surrender. Krishna is the protector. It's spiritual. Now, materially, it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Spiritually, it makes sense.
Yes.
We do things practically, even in the realm of protection. But in the mood of service, not in the mood of I got to look out for myself because Krishna forgot me.
But how to overcome knowing that, you know, people get misguided. Means when they're saying Krishna and they're accepting different,
Well, we stay in close association with those who can give proper guidance.
Yes.
And we're safe. So that requires good discrimination on our part, and it requires such person's availability. Something else? Yes.
Kind of slightly off topic, but
off topic. Oh, okay.
I was just wondering, the guy in default finding mentality. How do you cultivate like that? Not trying to like find faults in others. I mean, some devotees have said that
you serve them.
Well, like some devotees said, like pointing out the positive in others would kind of help. But I mean, I've been trying to do that, except like mentally, still like I'm still trying
serve them. Then it's from the heart. Then it's not just, you know, something in your mind and you say something nice. But you don't mean it because what's in your heart is fault-finding. Serve them from your heart. Go out of your way. Like find something, not just find something you can compliment them about, but go out of your way to do something. And do it in a way that you're not looking for them to recognize you did something for them. Do it because it's for your heart. It's the cure of the heart. When they're not looking, you do something for them. Or, you know, whatever. It's not, you know, getting some points, but it's just changing the heart. And do it on an ongoing basis. If you have a relationship with a person where, you know, there's something in that relationship, in the dynamic between you and them that rubs you the wrong way, that's what's causing the fault finding. Are you going to be able to influence that, whatever that thing is that's causing the rub, better if you're just like pointing to them and saying, or pointing to somebody else and saying, you know what that, or if your mood is a mood of just wanting to serve, and be, you know, close to that person, and then the person says, you know, then you can share in a friendly way, in a really well-meant way. This is something that when this happens, this is how I feel. I feel, you know, uncomfortable. I take responsibility for my feelings. This is something that makes me uncomfortable. But when there's a relationship of respect and trust that's been established, you can be an agent of upliftment, of service, if that's really what's in your heart. And otherwise, what you're doing is part of the problem. You're not making the problem any better. You're making the problem more aggravated. Service. Yes, Haritha?
Yeah.
You look behind you.
Oh.
What are the qualities of a person who's receiving training?
The qualities of a person?
What do you need to develop?
Well, the 434 Bhagavad Gita is a very good place to begin. Tadviti pranipat, prashna, and seva. That doesn't mean being blind, but there's a, I recognize I need training, here's a person who can help me, so there's some submission to that, you know, a submission or respect to that relationship that we have. And I have some inquiry, I'm inquisitive, I'd like to know. And then seva can mean just in the interactions with that person, just some mood of doing some humble thing for them. The better seva, I explained before, is the things that you've heard from them, you go and apply them. There's nothing that can make a teacher more happy than the student applies the things that they heard. Because by doing, the student will become better. It's not like now they recognize who I am and so I feel good. It's that so that the quality of their life is improved by that. That's what teachers want. Okay. Yes.
honest, like even though like I really want to submit myself to the instructions and the training I'm receiving, and the teachings, but I have this attachment, like I'm very much holding on to the baggage I'm carrying, and I'm just, I'm realizing of late, like, that holding on to is really causing me all the misery, and more like it is, that is shaken, like it increases actually, like because I'm so much attached to that thing, I am not able to leave that actually. So how can I really...
Be patient. As those who are working with you will also receive the same advice, be patient, but continue. An experience that I've learned a lot from the training of new devotees in the Bhakti program. And one of those principles is a Bhakti leader will, and I've seen it done literally, make a list of things. Okay, what are you attached to? Then pick something from that list that you're attached to. I mean, it's not like all at once, but pick something from that list that you think you can, you don't really need and you can do without. Or an easy one, real easy one. And so then work on that. Okay, that's done. Now the next one. Work on that. So what happens is the easier ones to go real easily. But the ones that we're more deeply attached to, they don't go so easily. We want to maintain them. We want to take our dirty laundry with us into the kingdom of God. You know, take our shoes and the whole deal into the temple. You can't take your shoes into the temple. You have to leave them outside. So there are attachments that are more deep that are going to take longer. So be patient. That's my message. And continue. Follow, borrow from that which gives you strength. What is it, you know, think, what is it that gives me spiritual strength? I like to chant, or I like to perform arti, I like to serve the deity, I like to sing bhajans, I like to study Prabhupada's books, I get strength from something, or a few somethings. And do that very carefully, and get strength and purity, and then borrow from that strength and apply it to the thing that where the attachment is. And it's going to take a little bit longer. Be patient, but you're getting strength and continuing to apply it in this area of weakness. And be careful to not allow erosion of respect, what to speak of disrespect, to enter into relationships because of this little attachment thing over here. That the relationship become, that maintain the position of strength and respect and continue to go forward. Understanding with some faith and with the understanding of what the goal is. It's, you know, keep the big picture. The big picture is we like pure devotional service. And over here is some ink spot, something that's not pure, so we'd like to make it pure. I'm going to work on. I had this experience. I have some colored little pens I'm used for making marks and, you know, for when I'm studying something. And I was in a car once with these pens, and one was open and it kind of stained right on my kurta. A big stain. Ooh. But I knew what would happen. It was water-based, and over a period of just washing and washing and washing and washing and washing and washing, it would go away, so you didn't even know that there was this stain. Ooh. Initially, there was this stain. It was like, ooh, look at that. Green. Right in the middle of the kurta. But I was just, you know, I didn't fret over it. I just knew, wash it and wash it. In the course of time, it's going to be gone. they're gone. To stay focused on, so for Anarjana Vritti, stay focused on Bhajana Kriya. Because from the strength of Bhajana Kriya, anartas will be removed. Have that faith. Okay. I think we're done for the evening. Let's have some more chanting. A little more chanting. You're the guy. You got the harmonium.
Oh.